Daniel chapter 2, verse 45. Daniel 2, 45. And Daniel chapter 2 fits right into end time prophecy. I'm not going to preach about end time prophecy. I want to just glean a little bit out of this vision that the king Nebuchadnezzar had, and Daniel telling him the dream, and then he would tell him the interpretation of the dream. Daniel chapter 2, verse 45, "Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter." That's for our generation today. We are in the feet of clay and iron, the last kingdom upon this earth before Jesus comes. But he said in the last part of this, verse 45, "And the dream is certain." Everybody said, "The dream is certain." The dream is certain. "And the interpretation sure." Everybody said, "The interpretation sure." The interpretation is sure. The dream is certain. Praise God. There's no yes and no's with God. All of his promises are yes and amen. Amen. To the glory of God. I want to preach tonight for just a little bit. And I really don't plan to preach a long time. But I pray that I can preach and convey what I feel in my heart. Amen. What I feel in my spirit. I want to preach tonight, making your church what you want it to be. Making your church what you want it to be. Praise God. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the Holy Word. Anoint it with the Holy Ghost. Touch us tonight with your presence, with the Word of God. Give us strength and anointing here tonight in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. You may be seated, but don't sit down on me here tonight. Amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord. You know, when I begin to look at the scripture, begin to look at all of the things that the Lord has done from the very beginning, in reality tonight we have been given so much. We have been given so much that it is actually astounding, the things that God has given to his people. Amen. We are blessed, blessed, blessed here tonight. Amen. We have everything that we need. Somebody said amen. 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 If you just look around you, we have been given life. We're here tonight, and most of us are alive here tonight. Anybody here that's alive? All right, good. Praise God. And we've been given a life, a world to live that life in. And we've been given above and beyond just the material and the earthly and worldly things. But we have been given the Word of God. We have the Word of God tonight. Ought to be enough to make us shout. Ought to be enough to set us on fire, praise God, all the way down to the bones, amen, where we are so excited about the things of God that we dream about it, amen, that we think about it, that we get involved in it, and that's what's been given to us. Not only do we have the Word of God tonight, we have the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm so thankful that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I still remember the night that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I remember that it was just the beginning, but what a wonderful, powerful experience it was. Anybody remember when you got the Holy Ghost? Two or three of you. Well, the rest of us, all of us tonight, need to pray back through again. Amen. We have not only the Word of God and the Holy Ghost, we have the promises that are here in the Word of God. Amen. And Not only that, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so tonight we have power. Amen. God has invested in us authority and power. Amen. And that power, part of the power of God, is the power to do what we can dream for. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And tonight we're not lacking at all. You may look around and say we're lacking here tonight, but we are not looking at the things that are seen, but we are looking at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Praise God. Amen. This is a gate of heaven where we sit tonight. We are literally sitting at the gate of heaven. And if the gate opens up tonight and we leave this place, praise God, we're going to see things from a totally different perspective. Amen. I say tonight, why not look at it from a different perspective before the gate opens? And walk by faith and trust God and believe God for great and mighty things. Amen. And we understand tonight that God cannot lie. Right? We understand that. We know that God cannot lie. And what God has and what the Lord has given to us, nobody or no thing can take it away from us. Amen. Because the dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. Praise God. It is not wishy-washy. It is not a suggestion. But I'll tell you what it is tonight. It is certain and it is sure. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank God. Thank God. We sit here tonight with so very, very much. And if you want to sit there tonight and look at your problems, then that's all you're going to see in your life. If you sit here tonight and see your physical troubles and sickness and disease and whatever else it is, then that's all you're going to be able to see. But I'm telling you tonight, when God establishes something, it is certain and it is sure. Amen. And we have so much here tonight. What we want to do is to see what is available to us. Amen. I pray that God will open our eyes. I pray that the Lord will help us to lift up our eyes to the hills and see the chariots of fire and to see the help that we have, that we are not alone. It's not just two of us, the prophet said, but there are more that are for us than there is against us. Do you believe that tonight? I do. I believe that with all of my heart. And tonight the Lord wants to give us a vision. What he wants to do is give us an understanding of his will. Amen. So that we can walk in that understanding tonight. And not only walk in that understanding, but see the results of that understanding. What we need is a vision. Amen. What we need is a vision personally, and what we need is a vision collectively. Praise God. Collectively tonight, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And so that means that we are his hands. Amen. It means that we are his feet. Praise God. It means that we have his mind. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. And so, as the body of Christ, it would not be normal for a body not to receive messages from the brain. That's where problems develop. That's where situations come. And sometimes it's irreparable, and sometimes it will cause death. Amen. We have a mind tonight, a super mind, and it is the mind of God. Amen. It is the mind of Christ, and there is no problem with the messages that are being sent out from the mind of God. Well, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God tonight, because the Word of God was with God. It was in the mind of God. We literally look at the mind of God when we open our Word and we preach it and we read it and we meditate about it. It is a result of the mind of God. Amen. And it is not normal for a mind to send out information and for the body not to receive that information. Praise the Lord. A man or a woman that has a vision, yes, even a vision of earthly things, will connect with their body. Amen. They may have a vision of starting a business, but they can't just start a business by thinking about it. There has to be a transformation from the mind to the body. Praise God. And the body receives it, and the body obeys the mind. In the mind, there is excitement and enthusiasm. In the mind, there is belief. Amen. In the mind, there are so many things that normal people that can only do so much can do much, much more if their mind is in the right place and their body is connected to their mind. If you're running a race, it's more of a race of your mind than it is your body. The body has a lot to do with it, but if you get discouraged in your mind, then the body will respond and it will not be efficient. Amen. It will not complete the task. It will not do what the mind says you can do. But if you have a body that is in tune to the mind, and the mind says, keep on going, praise God, and the mind says you can make it, then you can push and push and push. And even though the body is weary, and even though it goes through many difficulties, it can finish the race. Praise God. And the will of God tonight is for us to finish this race. Amen. But it starts out with a personal vision. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We know tonight that it begins, the vision begins before we ever receive it. Amen. The vision begins by hearing the Word of God. The vision begins when we understand that we are lost without Him. Amen. And we get a vision of heaven and we get a vision of hell. We get a vision of our personal need. Amen. And it takes us, that vision will take us to an altar where we begin to pray. It might be in your living room. It may be at the church, wherever it is. Amen. An altar where we begin to call on God. And we call on God because we have first received a vision from God. A revelation, if you please, a vision, amen, of our personal need. And we heard it preached. There is something about it when you are little in your own eyes. Amen. We've got to have a vision, and that vision starts with us personally. Well, praise the Lord. And look at it. When we started out with God, we didn't have a lot to offer. We didn't have a lot of things to offer the church. Amen. We didn't know a whole lot. We couldn't think a whole lot about things because we just didn't understand it. Everybody else knew more than I knew. Everybody else is better than I am. I don't feel that good, amen, about this, but I do have a vision. Amen. And look what it did, that vision of heaven and hell. The vision of what God wanted to do in your life, the inspiration of the preaching of the Word of God. What it did was drove you to the altar, and you did the most rudimentary of all spiritual things, the very beginning of all spiritual experiences, victories, and everything. We came to a place of repentance. Amen. And we fell before God and said, God, if you could use me, use me. Amen. I give my life to you. I turn everything over to you. What happened there was a personal vision, a personal revelation. Amen. Some people never get a hold of the things of God. Some people never get a hold of the victory that God has for them. I see people in churches, some that are very, very excited through the thick and the thin, through the good and the bad. They stay excited. They have a smile on their face, and they always have a word of faith. And I say, what is it that motivates an individual like that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a revelation. Amen. It is a vision. Sister Scott lost her dad this last week. He passed away from cancer. And he was truly, truly a man of God. He was not a preacher. He did not have any tremendous ministry that he did. But there was one thing about Brother Pierce, he would always talk to people about the Lord. Amen. He had that position in the church, and I think that's a position that all of us need to have. Amen. Where we talk to people about the Lord. And he was always very excited. You never heard a negative word come out of Brother Pierce's mouth. He was a tall man. He was a very large man, not fat or anything like that. But he was big boned and big hands, and kind of reminded me a little bit of Brother Carricker. When he would shake your hand, it was a big hand. And he was a good man. He went through losing his wife. He went through cancer. But all the way to the very end, he was thanking God for the blessings. Amen. He was excited because he was not laying up treasures on this earth. He was laying up treasures in heaven. He had a vision. Praise God. He had a revelation. And then there are those that only see the negative. You know, there is the optimist or the pessimist. And the optimist and the pessimist are different in two different ways, or in one different way. Amen. The optimist and the pessimist, they're riding on the train going to a destination, and there's a difference between them. They're going somewhere, they're getting to the same place, but one of them enjoy the trip and the other one doesn't. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, we're headed somewhere tonight. Praise God, we're headed somewhere tonight, church. Amen. We're going to get to that destination, and you're either going to enjoy the trip or you're not going to enjoy the trip. Praise the Lord. I listened to a preacher just yesterday. We were at a banquet, and we were talking, not the banquet, we were at the meal after the service Friday night. And we were visiting at the very end with one of the ministers, and they were talking about people and how they can put their foot in their mouth sometimes and say things that can be offensive and all of that. And they lost two of their children. They had three children, and they lost two of their children in 1 year, both of them to immediate heart problems. One passed away, and then months later, the next one passed away, and they were completely traumatized, and you can only imagine. In fact, you can't imagine until you lose somebody that's very precious and very close to you. And they lost both of their children, and they received a text message the very day after the loss of their second child. And the individual texted them and said, I know what you're going through because last year we lost Fluffy, our dog. Amen. And he thought, what an idiot. Amen. They don't have the faintest idea of what we are going through. Amen. But they people can be, they can be real interesting at times. Amen. And he said, we stood there and we looked at that, and things were rising up inside of them the day after the death of their dearest loved one. And he said, we decided we could either get very angry or we could laugh at it. Amen. And they made the conscious decision to laugh at it. Amen. Some things you can only just laugh at and just keep right on going. Amen. If you give in to the negative things of this world, then that means you don't have a revelation. Praise God. If you succumb to the negative forces of this world, then that means you need a fresh vision of what God wants to do in your life. Because there is nothing in this world, spiritual or carnal, that comes to us without any effort or any labor or anything like that. Amen. We have everything we need to succeed, but we've got to get a vision of it in our mind. Come on, somebody. Help the pastor tonight. We've got to have a vision in our mind of what God wants to do with all of this that is around us. Praise God. Praise God. And those with a revelation are excited. People with a revelation are faithful. People with a revelation are dutiful. Amen. Has God given you a revelation of what He wants to do in your life? Amen. He does want to do that. Praise God. He wants to give you a dream. And you say, well, where can I find the dream? Do I just pray for a dream? No. The way to get a dream in your life and to move forward in life and to prosper and to be blessed is just simple tonight. You want to know what it is? Anybody want to know what it is? You don't want to know what it is. Get involved. A dream cometh through the multitude of business. Amen. A dream cometh through the multitude of business. Just get involved in teaching a Sunday school class, and all of a sudden you'll begin to think thoughts you never thought before. Praise God. Just get involved on your job, and you'll begin to look at the process that it is done, that it's done with, and all of a sudden a dream will come to you. Amen. Well, we could do it this way and make it better and faster and cheaper. Amen. A dream only comes when we are involved. God never filled us with the Holy Ghost to park us on a pew somewhere. Well, praise God. But He called us to be witnesses for Him. He called us to build a church. Amen. Well, praise God. He called us to build a church. And the very fact that there are people here tonight means that there are other people that will come if we will march out into the field and learn how to harvest. You don't have to know what you're doing. Just get a sickle in your hand and start at it. Praise God. You got to learn from the beginning and get involved. Amen. And once you get involved and you see the bin full of grain, and oh, we're going to have a good time in the winter when there's nothing to harvest, we're going to have plenty, plenty, plenty. Amen. And get a vision and get excited about the work that you're doing. Well, praise God. And those with the ability to receive revelation can see things that others can't see. But it's not just the one that sees it and tells everybody else what they need to see. It is a revelation that will motivate you not just to see what is possible, but to get involved in it and to see it come to pass. To actually realize the results of your dream. There's nothing like it in all of the world. Amen. People that have a revelation have the ability to see a machine. Amen. That when it is built, it will it will carry people in the air. somewhere in South or North Carolina, somewhere. They cranked it up and somebody got on it and everybody was laughing at them probably. And they said, we're going to build something that's going to carry a man through the air. What do you know to do? We own a bicycle shop. That's all we know is bicycles. We can fix a bicycle. But when we begin to look at the bicycle, then we begin to dream about other things. And we said, if we can do this, then maybe we can do this. And before you know it, they had a dream of building an airplane. And in less than 100 years, there were 747s that were built. Praise God. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And now we fly like it's walking down the street almost. It is a revelation, a vision that was cast by President Kennedy. And he said, we want to put a man on the moon within 10 years. And it was not just a vision. It was something that they got involved in. We just had the 50th anniversary of the first man on the moon. And there was over 400,000 people that worked on the project. And back in the 60s, it cost several billion dollars for them to put those men on the moon. Amen. It was a dream. It was a dream of going to a place that they had never been before. It was a dream, amen, that said, we can do this. We just have to start right now. We've never built anything big enough to do this. We don't know how to do it. And along the way, when they built the motors, the engines that pushed it up into the space, they would put it on a test deal, and they would fire the engine off, and in a matter of a few seconds, it exploded in flames. Amen. They had one situation. And I remember this as a boy. I remember the news. And there were three of the astronauts that were preparing for this journey to the moon. Something went wrong within the capsule. They were just sitting on the ground, and they were testing, and they were practicing. And they were sitting on the ground, and a fire broke out on the inside. And all three of those astronauts burned to death inside that capsule. They could have said the cost is too high. They could have said the problems are too great. But no, they continued to go forward. They had the funeral, but as they were having the funeral, there were engineers that were working on the problem and saying, how can we fix this and what went wrong? We've got to get to the destination. The destination is the most important thing. And folks, we've got to get to heaven. It is the most important destination that we have. Amen. But if you're going to go to heaven, you got to have a revelation. If you're going to make it, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. If you are going to make it to heaven, you've got to have a vision. Amen. You got to be able to see the difference in heaven and hell. Amen. And to where it motivates you. Praise God to get busy doing the work of God, because I'm not laying up treasures down here. I'm laying up treasures in heaven. Praise God. People that have a revelation, folks in the church that have a revelation, are going to see a revival church. Amen. They're going to envision empty pews being filled up with people. They're going to see a worship service. They're going to imagine a service of like we had Wednesday night, where there was tongues and interpretation and such a powerful move of God here Wednesday night. I'm telling you, those things don't just happen. They happen because there are people of faith. There are people that believe God. Is there anyone that believes God tonight? Is there anybody that believes the Word of God tonight? Amen. What we've got to have are some Joshua and Calebs. Amen. They will look at a mountain and not see the troubles of climbing that mountain, and not see the giants that are waiting at the top of that mountain, and the lack of oxygen that might be there because it's so high. What they see is a nice home built on the top of that mountain with a big old glass window, and they can look out over the countryside, and they love the beauty of it. That's what they could see before it ever came into existence. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you see all that it is labor in climbing? Oh, listen, living for God. Living for God is exciting. Amen. It's like the prophet of old. And he said, I want to marry this girl, Jacob. He wanted to marry her. And he said, well, you're going to have to work 7 years for her. And the Bible says that it seemed like just a few days, amen, for the love that he had for her. And he labored for 7 days. And then, of course, he was deceived. Amen. If anything can go wrong, it usually will. And there he realized he didn't have the right one. And he said, oh, you'll have to work another 7 years for her. And so he worked for 14 years. But I'm telling you what tonight, love is a tremendous motivator. It will take you over hurdles. It will cause you to do things, amen, that you never thought you could do because there was a vision. She's going to be mine one day. And there is a vision. And somebody said, well, did you know you're getting married next week? Oh, is it already 7 years? I didn't realize it. Time flies when you're having fun. Amen. Or like the frog said, time's fun when you're having flies. Amen. That was a joke, folks. Somebody needs to smile just a little bit. Praise God. It's going to be all right. Amen. And so we have to have a vision. Amen. Dreamer, they said of Joseph. Smart aleck, they said of David. Crazy and not worth following, they said of Moses. Of Jesus, they said, he's nothing but a wine bibber and a friend of sinners and publicans. Amen. But I'm telling you what, it's this way. It's this way with everyone that has a vision. That young boy was not a smart aleck. He just had a vision. Praise God. He was not lifted up in pride, and there was not naughtiness in his heart, as some said. But I'll tell you what, he saw a victory. He saw a great move of God. He saw victory over the enemies of God, and that's exactly what happened. And he went forward. Come on, somebody. Help me here tonight. You're not going to make it if you don't have a vision and a revelation. But with a revelation, we can make it. But even more than make it, we can cross the finish line in victory. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We say, how can it be we have so many things to contend with? And maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're looking critically at what's going on around you. I've seen people that if they don't see revival, they get upset. Well, this is the way it's supposed to be. If we did it this way, then there would be a move of God. I pastored the very first church that I ever pastored, and I was preaching that we needed to have revival. My message that night was, revival is here. God wants the church to have revival. And while I was in the middle of a sentence preaching faith and preaching the revival that God wanted to have for us, one of the men stood up. And he said, well, why then isn't it happening? And he threw his Bible on the floor and he marched out of the church. right in the middle of my preaching. I don't know if he's saved tonight or not. I pray to God that he is. But there are some people, all they can see is their own revelation and their own vision. It's got to be this way. It's got to be done this way. It's got to happen this way, or it doesn't fit into my way of thinking. But I'm telling you what, there are times that we go through the valleys, and there are times that we go over the mountains. When you're going through the valley and you look around and things are not as they should be, amen, a man or a woman of vision will not point fingers and be critical of everybody else. What they will do is say, I'm going to make my world the very best that it can be. I'm going to make my church what I want it to be. I want to pray in church. Amen. And so I'm going to pray. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to become critical of those that don't, but I'm going to get down on my knees. I'm going to march back and forth and seek God with all of my heart. Amen. And it will affect somebody else. Praise God. Some people are too spiritual. My pastor always said they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. And that's the truth sometimes. There's nobody like that here tonight. Amen. But I'll tell you, we have so many things to contend with. There's giants up there. I'm too old. Did you know I'm 80 years old? Now, I'm not talking about me tonight. But that was Caleb. I'm 80 years old. I'm 2 years old, too old for this. I'm just going to sit back and watch the young ones do it. But I'll tell you what, I've seen some of the older saints of God over the years, and brother, you just couldn't stop them. There's a lady in the Boston church when we were there many, many years ago, Sister Lovelock. And if my daughter or my son was here tonight, they would know exactly who I'm talking about. She'd get to shouting. She was a Jamaican lady. And she'd begin to come in and praise the Lord. When she would talk, her mouth would get real big, and she'd say, "Praise the Lord, Brother Worse." And then when she'd get to shouting, she'd grab a hold of the pew right here, and she would shout and she would shout. I guess so that she knew exactly where she was. And I found out when we went back and preached at the 40th anniversary, Sister Lovelock was still there. Still praising God and living for God. And she went to the pastor, Brother Courtney Bennett, and she said, "Pastor, I want to do something for God. I want to go start a work over in the area where I'm at." And he gave her permission, and she started a work. She wasn't called to preach. It didn't lift her up in pride, but she had a vision. And as I understand, there were those that received the Holy Ghost because of her desire and her vision. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Young people, you got to get a vision. Amen. Mom and Dad, we got to get a vision. Saint of God tonight, personally, you got to get a hold of a vision of what God wants you to do. And you don't have to climb a mountain and fight all those giants necessarily. You may not be able to do that, but bless your heart, you can do something for God. You can. You can do something for God. And let's not be like those that have all the excuses, but I say let's stand up and do something right now. You say it won't work. Maybe it won't work. Amen. But get your sickle and start to cut the wheat. And somebody will say, "You got that sickle backwards. Oh, that's why it's not working right." And you turn it around and it starts working right. But you're never going to learn unless you get involved. Amen. You're never going to have a vision unless you get involved in the work of God. Amen. We need to pray and ask God to give us the mind of Christ. Well, praise the Lord. I wonder what his vision for our church is. I wonder what his plan and his purpose for New Life Tabernacle is. Don't tell me that the head does not want to use this body. He doesn't connect himself with a body for no reason. But there is the thinking process of the mind of God for this local assembly. Well, praise the Lord. I may not have the physical ability tonight to jump up and down and run like I want to and like I feel tonight, but bless your heart. I've still got the Holy Ghost, and I still have the Word of God, and I still have a promise tonight, and the interpretation is sure. Amen. It is valid, and it will come to pass. Well, praise God. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let God give you a vision of his will and his desire for your future. Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. This is my goal, my dream. Hey, that's all right, but don't ever let it get in the way of God's dream for your life. You may be seated tonight. I've got a few more things to say. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. A totally impossible situation. And the Lord speaks here to Moses. And he said, I am come down to deliver them, that be the children of Israel, out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up. Everybody said, bring them up. God doesn't bring us down, he brings us up. We're supposed to bring ourselves down. And that's when God brings us up. To bring them up out of that land unto a good land. Everybody said, a good land. And a large. Everybody said, large. Some of us don't like that word. Amen. I'm moving on. Unto a land flowing. Everybody said flowing. Flowing. With milk. Yeah. Honey. Honey. Praise the Lord. That's not your sweetheart. Amen. That's what comes from the bees. Unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and all the otherites. And then in verse 16, he tells Moses, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Don't ever forget that God knows what's going on among his people. He knows. He knows what we're going through as a church. He knows what you're going through as an individual. But he still has a plan. I said he still has a plan. And he said, my plan here for Israel is I will bring you up, there it is again, up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And it sounded so good when they first heard it. The sound of freedom to a slave must be something that is awesome. I understand just a little bit of it because I was enslaved to sin. And I remember the day that God set me free and said, son, you don't have to do that again. Praise God. You don't have to go there anymore. You don't have to lead that kind of a life anymore. I'm going to set you free. And honestly tonight, honestly, I don't see the holiness standards that the Scripture gives us, and it is scriptural. I don't see it as rules and regulations, but I see it as an opportunity of freedom. Amen. I'm not going to say, well, I can't drink alcohol anymore. I'm going to say, thank God I don't have to do that anymore. Praise God. Well, you can't smoke cigarettes. Oh, thank God. I don't have to do that anymore. Oh, God, help us. Oh, well, you can't do this anymore. Well, I really don't want to do that anymore because all it did was depress me and take my spirit down. You know, folks that push against the good way all the time, I tell you what they need is a vision. You got to have a vision. You got to have a revelation. There has to be a time of conversion in your life. And if you've grown up in the church, you've got to find the day when you have a conversion in your life. And that conversion comes about because of a revelation. I'm a sinner lost without God. Amen. I'm not a good church-going person. I'm a filthy, dirty, no-good sinner without God. And I need God more than anything in all of the world. I don't stand here tonight touting any goodness in me. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you are what you are by the grace of God tonight. Amen. But it goes even further than that. When we get a hold of a vision of freedom, I'll tell you what, it is exciting. But this promise was almost too good to be true. I know when I say that we're going to fill this church up with people, I feel the negative vibe that comes back to me. Well, it hasn't happened yet, and we've lost some people, and here we are, and what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what, friend, I'm going to get a hold of a vision. God's got a vision for our church. God's got a plan for you and your family and for our church. All we need is somebody to stand and preach it and people that will believe it and put their hands to the plow and get busy doing something for God. Because we are laborers together with God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God knows how to harvest. He just needs a laborer. Amen. God knows how to perform miracles. He just needs somebody that will believe him. Well, praise God. He needs some hands. He's the head. We are the body. He needs some hands. He needs some feet. Praise God. He needs something that he can work through. He could do it himself, but he's chosen that it be done this way. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You be seated for a moment here tonight. I got a few more things I need to say. Praise the Lord. And he said, here it is, this land of promise. Did you know that the land existed in reality? Think about that tonight. It was a promise. It was a promise that God gave to them, but that promise existed in reality. It wasn't something that was in the cloud somewhere. It wasn't something that God hoped would come to pass. Well, I'll get them out of here, and maybe when we get somewhere down the road, we'll be where we want to be. But God had scoped the whole thing out. Amen. He picked that place, that piece of property. He picked all of those areas and he said, this is going to be yours. It existed in reality. Praise God. Amen. And sometimes we get an idea of the promises of God that they're kind of floating around in a cloud somewhere. That, you know, we're going to work and work and work and it might not happen. That we're going to spend all this time and energy to get out of Egypt and we're going to cross this great desert area. And when we get there, well, we'll just see what happens when we get there. That's not the way it was. But when God said, I'm going to bring you up out of Egypt unto a good land, a land that flows with milk and honey, and it's got everything that you're ever going to need. It is wonderful. You're going to be free people. Amen. You're going to divide the land according to the word of God. Amen. I'll tell you what, They turned everything loose. God turned them loose from Egypt by a mighty hand, and they came out of Egypt. You came out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. Well, praise the Lord. It wasn't when you came to the altar and repented, it wasn't, well, maybe hope so, possibility, God might fill me with the Holy Ghost. But when you begin to pray and you believe God, God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The promise of the Holy Ghost is, in fact, a reality. It is not a hope so, maybe so thing. It is not a situation where some speak in tongues and others don't. No, it's not for some and not for others. It's for whosoever will. Well, praise God. For your children, to their children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it says in the Bible, many are called. Amen. Did you know there are many, many people in this area? And they have a call of God upon their life. There is a vision that God wants to give to them. Amen. It doesn't all settle down in here, but it's going to reach out into other areas where your neighbor can get a vision of what God wants to do in their life. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. The promised land was in reality. It existed in reality. Amen. The Lord just needed somebody to catch the vision and dream about what that land is going to be like. Amen. And to think about it, when we have a rally service and our church is full, I get a vision of what it's going to look like. Praise God. I look about and say, this is going to be our Sunday night service. Amen. And we're going to be setting chairs out. Praise God. Now I feel that negative vibe right now. But I'll tell you what, the promises of God are sure. The promises of God are real. Amen. They exist in reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the day came when they came to the river, and the river parted, and they marched through into the land of promise. Praise God. God wants us to march into the land of revival, into the land of healing, into the land of miracles. It's not just a dream, but it exists in reality. We just sometimes swing the sickle backwards, and we need to turn it around, amen, and do it the right way. Praise God, and we will begin to see a move of God. One more time, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. I got a few more things to say. Praise the Lord. Maybe some of them looked around and said, oh, wait a minute. I thought this was a land that flows with milk and honey. Where's the pipe where the milk comes out? Where's the pipe where the honey drips out? I just want to go put my bucket underneath there and get some honey. I want to go over to this other pipe and get some milk. It's just flowing freely. The Bible says that it flows with milk and honey. Well, we know where honey comes from, right? Comes from a bee's nest. And you know what? When you go to a bee's nest, some people, they get back ways. Bees scare them. Well, I don't like them either, especially when they get mad. But inside of that beehive or wherever it is in the trunk of a tree, oh, everywhere you turned, there was honey. There were bees coming and going. Amen. There was so much you could just reach in there, grab a big old handful of it like that Winnie the Pooh and swipe it across his mouth. And, boy, this is good stuff. Amen. But I'll tell you what, you had to learn how to be a beekeeper if you were going to have bees and have honey. Praise God. And just get a little bit of an idea what it means to be a beekeeper. It's not just a matter of going and digging out the honey. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And sometimes it's hard and sweaty work. And they knew how to do that because in Egypt, they knew how to be beekeepers. They actually did that in Egypt. There's pictures of them with suits on and the beehives, and they actually raised bees and had honey and milk. We know where milk comes from, right? Do y'all know where chocolate milk comes from? You know where chocolate milk comes from, Brennan? It comes from brown cows. You know where the white milk comes from? White cows. White cows. See, he's with me right there. Praise the Lord. Now, you can ask your mom and daddy if what pastor's saying is right. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, what we've got is a hill over here, and there's a white pipe coming out over here, and there's a brown pipe coming over here. And when you open this valve, it's chocolate milk, and over here it's white milk. We're going to a land that flows with milk. It's everywhere. Well, you know what that simply means? That means there's heifers everywhere that are waiting and going, you know what that means? That means I'm in pain. Somebody milk me, please. Amen. And when you milk a cow, I've never done it before, but you have a three-legged stool and you sit down there by the business end of that thing and you start milking the cow. If you go to the state fair there in Hutchinson, they have that thing where they show you how they milk the cows. Has anybody been there? Let me see your hand if you've been there. And they've got this automatic machine. And they put it up there, and all this milk starts flowing freely. Amen. They used to, you know, we had cats on the farm. We never milked any cows, but I pastored in Wisconsin where we had three families in the church that's what they did full time. And they used automatic machines, but years ago, the cat would be over there and they'd give the cat a squirt, squirt a little bit on the cat's mouth, and he'd lick it off, and the cats were there to get all the mice and all of that. I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Amen. I'm going to give you a revival in your church. Oh, it sounds so good, doesn't it? But what it really comes down to is somebody ringing the bell or call the hogs in. Amen. It's time to eat. Call the cows in. It's time to milk. Amen. And I'll tell you what, friend, you got cows that need to be milked. You better milk them on time. I learned that. And it's twice a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. Right. If you want to take a vacation, you got to get somebody to come and milk your cows for you. That's right. You just don't say, well, stand right there and it all comes out by itself. It doesn't work that way. It's work. It's labor. We are laborers together with God. But there's nothing like sitting down with a cold glass of milk and a good old cookie, amen, a snickerdoodle or two or three or four. Praise God, and eating that and having a good old time while the snow's blowing outside. You can just look out the picture window on the top of your mountain and say, praise God, I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. No more whips, no more troubles, no more problems. Praise God, I'm going to a land that flows with milk and honey. Praise God. Well, praise God. I'm going to climb that mountain, and I'm going to cut some trees down, and I'm going to build me a house. And then over here somewhere where it's the right place, I'm going to put a barn up. And I'm going to grow some cattle there so I can have some sirloin steaks. Amen. Some ribeyes. Some good stuff. Amen. Well, praise God. But I'll tell you what, we get a misconception sometimes of revival. Revival is not for the lazy and unbelieving. They dwell in the land of nothing. Amen. They dwell in the land where there is always a need. Amen. But people that have a vision, well, praise God. A revelation, a vision. God wants to use me in this area, and I'm going to get busy at it. I may stumble and fall, but I'm going to get back up because I got a vision. I want to see God do some great things. Amen. Praise God. And don't ever get the idea that anybody owes you anything. Well, praise God. You can be seated one more time. I got a few more things to say. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes me anything. The world will not give you what you need to do what you want to do. Praise God. You decide to go into business, there's not going to be 15 or 20 or 30 people that will say, we'll support you till it gets going. Amen. Right. Nobody's going to help you because they're trying to help their self. And they're not just going to give you. There is no goose that lays a golden egg. Right. Doesn't exist. It's just a fairy tale. It's something that somebody dreamed up. Amen. There's no Cinderella situation. What do they call it? They used to call it the Cinderella something or other syndrome. Who said that? Cinderella syndrome. Oh, I'm going to find my gorgeous prince. I'm going to find my sweet princess. And she's going to be wearing glass slippers. And she's going to come up in a carriage that somebody just waved a magic wand, and there were 6 white horses in a carriage to take her to the, I almost said Bansy Fall. Amen. Because I tell the story of Cinderella backwards. I'm not going to do it tonight. Amen. It wasn't Cinderella, it was Rindercella. Amen. And she went to the Bansy Fall. And she slopped her dripper, praise the Lord. She dropped her slipper, okay. I'm moving on here tonight. Some of you are missing it completely. That's okay. But there is no such thing as a fairy godfather. There is no such thing as a fairy godmother. And she has a magic wand. I'm really trying my best to say it right because I say it backwards so many times. Whew. Gavin's over there. Oh, I want to be used of God. I'm just waiting for the pastor to get a magic wand out. Oh, I want to be healed of my leprosy. I thought he would wave his hands over me and do something special. But he said, go down to Jordan River and dip 7 times. You're going to have to do something to get to where you want to be. You can't just sit around and say, I'm going to be the next Tiger Woods. I'd like to know how many hours he spent practicing. How many sets of clubs he went through. How many times he hit the ball and it went straight sideways. How many times he hit the ball and it went right straight up and came back down? And somebody say, you're never going to make it. No, he had a vision. He had a dream. And physical ability, visions and revelations will push you further than you could ever imagine yourself to go. Amen. Magic wand. Amen. Magic wand. The perfect prince comes along and he swoops her up. Doom! And there it is. Praise God. I think I just prophesied. If it doesn't come to pass, it wasn't a prophecy. But if it does, that was a prophecy. And y'all can write that one down. Nobody's going to give you anything. Amen. But I'll tell you, he will give us some things. He gives us a harvest field. And he says, now you go harvest it. He gives us souls all around us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And he says, go reach them. He gives us a beautiful building to worship God in. Classrooms to teach people in. And we revel in our electronics and our buildings and everything that we've got. And it looks so nice and it looks so perfect. But what good is a restaurant, a beautiful brand new restaurant, if nobody's in there eating anything? What good's a hospital, a beautiful hospital, but all the rooms are empty? What good is it? It's not any good whatsoever. Oh, but I'm telling you, God's given us so much, New Life Tabernacle. Saint of God tonight, God's given you everything you need. Amen. Praise God. Is there excitement and desire tonight? I do believe there is. But I believe that it is my time as pastor to carry a vision to you. Amen. A vision of what God wants to do among us. Amen. The days of just coming to church and going through a service needs to be over. I need to bring somebody with me when I come to the house of God. I need to spend more time praying for my neighbors and looking for opportunities to talk to them rather than just burying my little one talent in the ground and saying, I'm just going to wait for the coming of the Lord. I'll tell you what, we cannot do that, my friend. Church, we cannot do that. Amen. How do you see your church tonight? What's the vision you have of your church? Amen. It's not my church, it's our church. But it is my church. Gavin, it's your church. Hunter, it's your church. Isaac, this is your church. I've heard people say, that church. And you know what? They're not with us tonight. Because it's that church. No, this is my church. And I'll tell you what, I can make my church what I want it to be. Right, there you go. Caleb went to the top of that mountain. He could have made him a house that was about this big right here, with a little bed in the corner and a place for his milk and honey, and just sit there in that little bitty room and say, God gave this to me. Yeah, you can do that. But I tell you what, it was unlimited. The vision was unlimited. He could build a house bigger than this church. I love Brother Riley. He's such a visionary. He had a church that was probably maybe a little bit bigger than our sanctuary. 85 people, basically about 85 people in their church. Not a huge church by a lot of standards. But a hurricane came through and destroyed the whole thing. Blew both ends of the sanctuary out, knocked the bricks off. Just totally devastated. They totaled the building. They had to tear it all down, dig up the concrete. And so he thought, well, we're going to build a new building. Well, we've got land. They had about 10 acres. So you could build a pretty good-sized building on 10 acres. Are we going to build just what we had and make it look nicer and kind of fit in and all of that? He said, you know what? I got thinking about it and said, we want to build a bigger church. Amen. And he went from about probably 7,000 square feet to 28,000 square feet. 28,000. I said, brother, you need to just start a Walmart in here. And the architect drew up the plans. And he said, the sidewalls are too short. I want the sidewalls higher. He said, it looks like a short Mexican with a big sombrero. Big old roof and little bitty short walls. Only he can get away with things like that. So they raised the walls a couple more feet. All metal on the outside. Fancy, nice spiral in the front of the church. We got to see him put the spiral on the front of the church. New carpet, chandeliers. I thought, man, this man has a vision. But we can sit in our little corner here and say it's our four and no more. Or we can have a vision of what God wants to do among us. The best days are not over. I said the best days are not over. There is a church. We just need to catch the vision. We need to get a revelation. I need to see my church through God's eyes and not my eyes. Amen. And if you think tonight, let's stand together. If you think tonight that your church isn't coming up to the prayer that it needs, then you just increase your prayer. Praise God. If you don't think that we're doing enough outreach, you get out and do some outreach and bring somebody to the house of God, and when they pray through, they'll say, can I go with you on outreach? Amen. I've learned that some folks are just not going to get involved. And I'll tell you what, I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to saddle up a dead horse and try to ride it. Amen. And bring it back to life. I'm going to get something that's ready to go, saddle it up, and let's go. Amen. Let's go. So don't look around and say, well, there's a dead head right there. They don't want to do anything for God, and it's discouraged me, so why should I do anything for God? No, I'm not going down that road. Amen. But I tell you what, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to reach out for my vision that God has given me and what I feel like God has given to our church. Amen. Amen. For 40 years, Joshua and Caleb dreamed of a time when they would be turned loose. Because they weren't turned loose for 40 years. 40 years. Praise God. I've pastored in a couple of places where nobody believed in revival except maybe a couple of folks. And they were always the ones that were so excited about the Lord. First church I ever pastored, it was nothing but problems. The church doesn't even exist anymore. But there was an old brother, old saint of God, an old gentleman. And I remember going over to his house every now and then because I needed encouragement. I needed to be encouraged. So when I went to church, I wasn't encouraged. There were spirits, there were troubles, there were problems. There was rebellion. And so I'd go to his house and he'd say, brother, he said, you just hang in there. It's going to be all right. And he had been through thick and thin, faced hell itself, but he always had a positive word. Amen. I want to have a positive word. You need to come to the house of God with a positive word and say, you know what? I believe God's going to do something here tonight. Let's pray and ask God to do something here tonight. Look at that field out there that's ready for harvest and just stand over in the corner with my pen and paper and figuring out why I can't do it. No, it's sitting right there in front of me. It's waiting to be harvested. It's waiting for somebody to go out into the field. Amen. And as I look out over the church here tonight, you know, I think about Joshua and Caleb. They were prayer warriors. They had a dream, but they were outnumbered. There was 12 spies, right? 10 of them came back with an evil report. So it was the odds of 2 to 12. The odds of 2 to 12. You're never going to get 12 and 12. Never going to happen. Nobody owes you anything. But you got to learn and decide, I'm going to be one of those two. Amen. I'm going to be a Joshua or I'm going to be a Caleb. And I'm going to believe God. And they're the ones that went in. But I look over this church tonight and I see people that know the Word of God, that love God with all of your heart. Praise God. What we need to do is begin to trudge out into that field. Well, it's too muddy. I can't go out there today in the field. Well, it's too hot. I can't go out there in the field today. Well, it's too big of a field, so why even start? We can't do anything. There's just not enough of us to do the job. But I'll tell you what, friend, when your labor's together with God, it's like one of those men in the Old Testament, I believe his name was Shamgar. And the Bible says that he went into battle and he was like a combine. And there were folks falling all over the place, and the Bible says they followed him only to spoil. They're just picking up the leftovers. There was one man going out there and doing God's business, and there was so much production of good things. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what we need to do. I'm going to finish with this. Let's get ready. Let's get busy and start cutting some trees down. Amen. To build a house. Amen. We've got our plow sharpened already. Amen. It's ready to go. Let's just put our hands to it. Let's hook it up to the ox. And let's start across the field. Oh, there's rocks out there. We'll worry about that when we get to it. God will move that rock for us. Praise the Lord. Get your hands warmed up and pliable. Start milking 100 cows. Praise the Lord. Maybe when you start shouting, you can just... Land of milk and honey. Oh, well, I'm just waiting for the pipe to show up out of the ground. For the milk to start flowing out. I'll tell you what, there's enough of us here tonight. You've sharpened your sword enough. It's time to get up and go into battle. Come on, let's lift our hands together tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the promises of God. Thank you for the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.